guys ready to talk to me for a while?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. All right, so, favorite thing about Christmas. And go, what's your favorite thing about Christmas?
Presents.
Yes, presents. Okay.
Getting to celebrate Jesus' birthday.
How do you celebrate Jesus' birthday?
Because the wise men give him gifts and about the star and the angel.
Uh-huh.
Because Jesus got born.
And he also came back to life.
He did also come back to life. Jesus coming to earth as a baby is Christmas, and Jesus rising again is Easter.
Easter. It is not Easter. I am getting the Easter.
We're talking about Christmas.
Style over.
What does God with us mean?
He means that he cares for us.
He cares for us?
He takes care of us.
Takes care of us. Are you giving her the answer?
No.
You think
giving us presents.
Giving you presents? That's God with us?
That not.
Well, in a way, it is. You know what the best Christmas present is? See if you can think
pulling
of the best.
Putting on your underpants.
Putting on the underpants.
Putting on the underpants, yes. On the count of three, everybody change chairs. One, two, three. Perfect. Okay, so tell me something else about the Christmas story that you know. Who was there when Jesus was born?
Mary!
Joseph!
And the wise men.
And the wise men!
And the fairies!
And the fairies.
The angels!
And the angels?
Jesus!
And Jesus was there. Who else was there?
The other God!
They actually talked about Jesus' underpants in the Bible. He says that Jesus was wrapped in swaddling clothes, which is
underpants.
Like baby underpants. All right. What do you think the best Christmas present is?
God.
That is
God.
God.
He's the best Christmas present? How is God the best Christmas present?
He saved us from sinning.
He saved us from sinning?
He saved us from worshiping the bad.
From worshiping the bad? When we think about God being with us, how is Christmas God being with us as a present? Who came to be with us on Christmas?
God.
Who in particular?
God.
Jesus. Right, Jesus is with us. And that means that not only is Jesus with us with Christmas, but Jesus is with us all the time in all kinds of stuff in our life.
How's it going, Riverview? Merry Christmas to you. Again, my name is Tony. I am the pastor here at the Westside Venue, and I'd just like to welcome you all joining us here on Christmas Eve. For our weekend services, we're in the middle of this series that we are calling Emmanuel, which means God with us. And what we're doing with that is we are looking at the truth of the incarnation, the truth that Jesus Christ came to the world as a man, and he lived for us, and he died so that we can know him. The book of Matthew discusses this in chapter 1, verse 22, when it says, "All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. Over the next few weekends, we're going to finish up that series and really look at how Jesus changes certain parts of our lives because of what he did for us. But here, tonight, we're here because it's Christmas Eve. And Christmas is the celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ into the world. Now, my wife and I, around this time of year, we get flooded with Christmas cards. Now, I'm not talking about those Christmas cards you can go to the store and buy, but I'm talking about those Christmas cards where the family takes a really nice picture of themselves and they have maybe a verse on there or an encouraging note. And we love getting these cards because it just reminds us of all the family and all the friends that God has put in our lives. But my favorite Christmas cards are the ones that double as a birth announcement. Now, we live in a culture where birth announcements are pretty common. There are these cards you send out to all your friends, all your family, and you have a picture of your newborn baby on it, and you've got all the really pertinent, super essential information on there, right? Like how much they weighed, the second they were born, how long they were, like all that stuff. And then you have that two-day-old baby photo where you've position them to look like an adult taking glamour photos. You know what I'm talking about? You've got this pose, like that's what the babies look like. And I've realized this is the only appropriate time where you can put your baby in a bowl or a basket. You can't do that any other time. That's a bad idea. But now these birth announcements, they don't just happen personally. You know, we don't just get them in the mail. They happen on a worldwide scale. Now, I'm not sure if many of you remember, but the summer of 2013, the entire world seemed to have baby fever because in the UK, we were awaiting the birth of Prince George, the baby of Prince William and Kate Middleton. Now, he was born on July 22nd of 2013, and all the news outlets were focused on this. And when he was born, it was a worldwide thing. There was a bulletin outside of Buckingham Palace that said, "Hey, Prince George is here." In all of these other countries, there was gun salutes in the UK, in Bermuda, in New Zealand, and in Canada. And iconic landmarks around the world were highlighted in blue light to signify the birth of this boy. This was a celebration. This nation has a future king. Back in the Old Testament, there was this prophet named Isaiah. And Isaiah was commissioned by God to preach God's words to the nation of Israel. So God would say, "Isaiah, this is what I want you to say." And then he would preach. In Isaiah chapter 9, it says this: "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice, with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." Now, this was God's word given to Isaiah, but the year was 700 BC. So Isaiah was preaching this message to the nation of Israel in anticipation of what God was going to do. This was a birth announcement, but it was different. This was prophecy. Now, prophecy is just history written in advance. It was an announcement of what God would do 700 years later. And one night, in a manger, to a teenage girl engaged to be married, a Messiah was born. Now, typically when a royal baby is born, it's in a much different way. Prince George was born in a luxury hotel or hospital suite in London. It's called the Lindo Suite. You can go look it up. Now, in this room, there is satellite television. There is a custom menu for your own dietary restrictions. And you get to choose what kind of champagne you get to have after you give birth. It's pretty awesome. That is not how Jesus got here. He was born in a much different way. And people weren't expecting it. The Jewish people were expecting God to send a king to overthrow the government, to set things right in the world right now. But Jesus came into this world as a baby to a teenage girl whose fiance, it says in that text that we heard, was going to divorce her quietly. He was born in a manger, which, if you don't know what that is, that's a smelly feeding trough in a barn. And Jesus was born to a human family where he put others before himself. The book of Mark talks about Jesus in this way. In Mark chapter 10, Jesus is hanging out with his disciples. Now, his disciples were his closest friends, and they had some moments of immaturity, if you've read through any of the New Testament. And this is one of those moments, because the disciples are saying, "Hey, Jesus, in glory, when we're in heaven with you, who is going to be sitting next to you?" They're trying to play the shotgun game, you know, with the car, like in heaven. Like, "Jesus, who's your BFF?" And Jesus responds like this, Mark 10, 45, "For even the Son of Man," he's talking about himself, "even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." This wonderful counselor, this mighty God, the King of Kings, he came in the form of a humble servant who would put others before himself till the day he goes to the cross to pay for our sin. Jesus wasn't raised free of the hardships of life. He had an earthly family. He made it through his awkward teen years. He learned a trade, but his mission never wavered. He was a servant. He came to seek and to save the lost. We tend to forget this truth this time of year. We're focused on the gifts. We're focused on, you know, is everything wrapped? Do I have everything done? Are we seeing enough of the family? Did I get all my work done? Christmas is the time where we remember the King, born in Bethlehem for us. If you look closely at all the songs we sing this year, they preach this message, every single one of them. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. And joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. The good news is that we have a King who is coming back one day to reign and to rule with his people, that his blood is covered. But why this way? Why did God choose to do it like this? The reason God made the birth announcement, why he sent Jesus into the world to live a perfect life and go to the cross for our sin is simply because he loves us. He is a God of love. He knew our sin and our separation from him. We couldn't get to him on our own. We could not earn it. So God sent Jesus, our King, on a rescue mission for his people. And that King gave his life as a ransom for many. The question for us is this: have you responded in faith to the King born in Bethlehem? Have you put your trust in Jesus, the King of Kings, the Savior of the world? This is the reason we celebrate Christmas. It is Emmanuel, God with us.